The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, this is a great passage of Scripture for Reformation Month. It just works out that way. You know, years ago, when we lived in Olympia and I was a banker, I participated in a men's Bible study group. There were 5 of us who met at a guy's house every Tuesday night. I enjoyed those guys, enjoyed getting together with them on a regular basis. But even more important, my interaction with them helped create a tipping point in my life. I was involved in this group during a time when I was also really being challenged by what I was reading regarding Reformation theology as opposed to the dominant theology of American Christianity. And I remember a conversation one Tuesday night about salvation. One of my friends explained it this way. There's a big chasm, like the Grand Canyon, for example, and a tightrope is stretched across it. I walk halfway across, and Jesus walks halfway across, and we meet in the middle, and Jesus grabs hold of me, and I'm saved. Everyone nodded in approval. But I'd read enough and thought about this enough at that point to know that I disagreed. There's a chasm, all right, a big one. But it's only Jesus who walks across the tightrope, not me. And he comes all the way over to the other side by himself. And he saves me. I contribute nothing. The question is, of course, who cares? Isn't the bottom line that you're saved from an eternity separated from God and you're going to heaven? And why quibble about how it's done and who does what? It doesn't really make any difference. Does it? Well, our gospel lesson today underscores the idea that it makes a big difference if you understand how you're saved. In fact, it affects your life today and every day if you understand that you're saved by God's grace alone, through God's gift of faith alone. It makes a big difference if you understand that Jesus walked clear across the tightrope to the other side of the chasm and wrapped his arms around you and saved you, and you didn't contribute a thing. Not a thing. In fact, our gospel lesson today illustrates what a big difference that understanding makes. Here in Luke 17, Jesus and his entourage were walking south toward Jerusalem along the border between Galilee and Samaria. Samaria was formed centuries earlier when the Assyrians conquered Israel. Through the years, the Assyrians and Jews intermarried, and the resulting Samaritans combined Judaism with Assyrian paganism and created a religion that was a stench in the nostrils of all true Jews. So Jews hated Samaritans, considered them no better than dogs. Any self-respecting Jew refused to eat or to socialize in any way with a Samaritan. In fact, it's unusual that even among Jewish lepers, they would tolerate the presence of a Samaritan leper. But here in Luke 17, as Jesus passes by, a contingent of 10 lepers, including one who was a Samaritan, they recognize an incredible opportunity. They'd heard of Jesus and his healing power, and there he was, passing by. So the lepers cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, leprosy is a disease of the skin and nerves. It produces disfiguring lesions on the face and rots away the extremities, your fingers and toes. There was no known cure for leprosy at the time of Christ. So lepers were removed from their families and isolated from society. They were forced to live in groups and survive by begging. It was a horrible fate to be a leper. It was a slow, agonizing, and lonely death sentence. But for those 10 lepers, they'd been pardoned. Their death sentences erased. Jesus had mercy on them. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests, because in that society, it was the priest who had the authority to declare a leper clean and disease-free, and therefore eligible to rejoin society. And so off they went to see a priest, and on the way, miracle of miracles, they looked down, they looked around, and their lesions had disappeared. Their fingers had been restored. They walked without pain. They were free of leprosy. Miracle of miracles. But just one of them came back to thank Jesus. Only one. The hated Samaritan. Why? Was he more polite? No. He was more grateful. In fact, he was overwhelmed with gratitude, humbled by what had just happened to him. When he returned seeking out Jesus, he was likely choked with emotion, overcome by what he'd just experienced. But not the others. Why? Why would the Samaritan be more grateful, humbled, and overcome with emotion? Because as a Samaritan rather than a Jew, he recognized that he had no claim on the Jewish Messiah. In other words, he saw it clearly. Jesus owed him nothing. He was only a Samaritan. And yet he was healed, but only due to God's great mercy and compassion and love. The Samaritan knew that he hadn't earned this. He'd done nothing to deserve this. He hadn't walked halfway across the tightrope over the chasm and met God in the middle. He knew that. He'd been saved by God's grace, God's undeserved favor, through faith in God. And even that faith was a gift. A gift, so that no one can boast. Read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. He had not made a decision. He'd received a gift. It was an overwhelming realization. That's where his gratitude and humility came from. And that's where our gratitude and humility comes from. If we understand that we've contributed nothing to our salvation, we've only received it as a gift. You know, this theme that gratitude and humility come from the recognition that we don't deserve the salvation we've received as a free gift from God, that theme is repeated over and over in Scripture. Right here in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 7, as Jesus dined at the house of Simon the Pharisee, the town hooker crashed the party. And with great emotion and gratitude and humility, she wept over the feet of Jesus. And when Simon questioned why Jesus would interact with a prostitute, Jesus replied, "Simon, don't you see? Those who are forgiven much love much." One more illustration. Current Reformation theologian R.C. Sproul, some of you know that name, repeated an analogy he'd heard. It goes like this. A man who couldn't swim fell into a raging sea. He's going under for the third time, and only the tops of his fingers are above water. Unless God throws him a life preserver, he won't make it. But the life preserver can't be thrown just in the vicinity of the drowning man. The life preserver has to be thrown so that it hits the drowning man right where his fingers are extended out of the water. And it has to hit him so he can grasp it. It has to be perfectly pitched. But still the man will drown unless he takes his fingers and curls them around the life preserver. And then God can rescue him. Unless that tiny human action is done, the man will surely perish. R.C. Sproul doesn't like that analogy. Neither do I. He offered a better one. This man isn't going down for the third time. Instead, he's stone cold dead at the bottom of the ocean. And that's where you and I were, dead in our trespasses and sin. But God dove to the bottom of the ocean and took your drowned corpse and breathed into it the breath of His life and raised you from the dead. Your hand didn't curl around a flotation device. You didn't walk the tightrope halfway across the chasm. You didn't make the right decision. That's not how you were saved. You were saved when Jesus shed His blood for you on the cross and then wrapped you in His white robes of righteousness. You didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. If that's true, what amazing mercy! What incredible love! And what peace that brings! And what gratitude that produces! Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize what You have done for us. And recognize that we are the recipients of an overwhelmingly wonderful gift. And cause us to respond with deep gratitude and joy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.